it's not just about money, it's about time. The actual definition of investment changes the longer you own your home.
Just because you're not going to get the dollar for dollar back for putting a roof on, you are going to prevent issues that are going to lose you money.
What are the things that I can do to get my house ready for when I do sell in 4 or 5 years?
Painting is the easiest thing that you can do to better show your house.
We're real estate ninjas. I'm telling you right now, we can tell immediately whether a professional or the homeowner painted that house. There's no one really better suited to talk to you about home improvements than realtors. We bring buyers into homes and we see what they like and what they don't like.
Welcome back to Millennia, the no BS real estate solutions for millennials, entertaining you while facing real life issues and giving you the tools, resources, and know-how to keep you moving up towards your housing goals. We're your hosts, Jen Inesky and Seth Lejeune, coming out of the greater Philadelphia area, and we are Millennia.
Exciting. But
so what are we talking about today?
We're talking about return on investment on homes.
On home improvements.
Sorry, that's what I meant. ROI on home improvements. So, Tim the Toolman Taylor edition.
I talk to my clients all the time about this, and I have clients who have bought homes. I have people who have never used me, but they own homes, and they want to know what the ROI is and the return on investment for certain projects. I like to talk about this in a couple different ways. One is from a time standpoint. On one side, you have flips, which is someone buys a house and they sell it within 6 months, all the way to someone who buys their forever home, which is you buy it and then you live in it for 30 years. The ROI on those improvements changed dramatically over that timeline. The flipper,
which I think is why this is important to talk about too, because I like that you think of it on a scale to a degree. I agree, obviously, but whenever somebody comes to me, my knee-jerk response to that is obviously it's, and I like think of like a black and white answer, is like the best return on investment project you can do.
People make the mistake of saying, well, if I put a $40,000 kitchen in, am I going to get $40,000 out when I sell? And I'm like, well,
but you're right, there's more questions to ask.
There's a lot more complications. Now, if a flipper asks me that, that's a fair question because they're not going to use it. They don't give a shit. They want to know. It's a formula. It's a mathematical computation. If I put a certain amount of money in, will I get that money plus a little bit out? And even if a flipper takes a kitchen, puts a $40,000 kitchen in, and they get $40,000 out, it's actually not worth it. You might reset the market, the neighborhood record for a sale. But it's not just about money. It's about time. So even a flipper in a general sense has like a very small amount of consideration for time.
Can you define a flipper?
Oh, a flipper is somebody who purchases a home and then fixes it up and then puts it back on the market in within 3 to 9 months.
It's an investment strategy.
It's an investment property. And I use flipper cavalierly because I'm thinking a lot of people, I think flip has become part of the vocabulary, but that's a good point.
In our world.
HGTV, they've kind of made that a normal term, but yes,
we can
point.
Actually credit them for something.
Yeah, we can credit them for something, helping us in some way. So then you have somebody who buys their forever home, and let's say they want to put that $40,000 kitchen in to their house. Now, if that forever home owner put that kitchen in, but sell it in 6 to 9 months, they're not going to do that because it's their forever home. But if they wait 30 years, it matters a lot less what something's worth because you're going to enjoy it for probably 15 to 20 years.
I mean, it's saying what's it worth to you, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be monetary or like...
Well, I think that the way to really unpack it is when you have somebody with 30 years, you have to really think about what you mean by the word investment. So if it's an investment for a flipper, it's a straight number computation, and that's totally fair. But an investment is not just about, for the forever home people, is not just about, you know, dollar in, dollar out. It's an investment of, hey, you're going to wake up and make coffee every morning in this kitchen. You're going to have holidays in this kitchen. You're going to have hard conversations in this kitchen. You're going to be doing things in this kitchen for the next 15 years. It's the
same. You're going to have your husband butting up behind you while you're trying to make dinner. Do you really want to fix the layout so that he's not?
And it's a quality of life thing. People talk about all these little things in terms of improvements. And really the investments, like the actual definition of investment changes the longer you own your home. You want to put a pool in, if you're going to enjoy it for 30 years, like it's okay to overspend on it because you're going to extract value from it. You know, now if it's a roof, which is something you don't like, quote unquote, enjoy, it is actually a good investment because it does head off a lot of other problems. The roofs can leak for years. You have no idea. it's taking care of the asset. That falls a little bit more into that more investment bucket.
So if we're talking about roofs, because this is something that I think it's a misconception that people don't realize or understand, is does a new roof add value?
A roof can add value from an appraisal standpoint, not as much, but a new roof, it does not necessarily add a dollar for dollar value. So if you go and spend $15,000 on a roof, you're not necessarily going to sell your house for $15,000 more.
Now, on the flip side, so what I will say,
I was going to finish my point,
but I think you're going to make it before me, and I want to say it.
Oh, so you want it to, okay.
Is, so it doesn't add dollar to dollar value, but does add sellability, and it can be the difference maker between if a buyer's looking at three houses and they're all around the same price point. If one is going to give them less problems, mm-hmm. and they already know that one of the big ticket items was taken care of and that's mm-hmm. not going to be put on them,
yep.
then they're going to buy your house. If you want to think of it this way, then like technically it does pay for yourself because it's better than not getting an offer.
Yeah. So roofs fall into what we call big ticket items, HVAC, windows, roofs, water heaters, which isn't really a big ticket item. It can be if it doesn't work for you. Those are the types of home improvements that are more of the home maintenance side, where you not only replace them so they don't falter themselves, but they also don't allow other things to falter inside the home. So what
prioritize things to put your money towards when like investing into your home, just because you're not going to get the dollar for dollar back for putting a roof on, you are going to prevent issues that are going to lose you money,
yes.
by getting it done.
Yeah. So that return on investment isn't necessarily a straight 15 in, I'll get 15 out. And it's also not an intangible investment where you get to enjoy it. Like you're not going to go out to your front yard and look up with your wife and say, "Oh honey, I just love our roof." Don't
oh,
you?
I do. I got a new roof 3 years ago. Well, and I felt like more of an adult. That's a nice roof.
That's because you're weird. You're weird. But
it's because I'm a homeowner and yeah. I say, look at that nice roof.
Well, you also got a free roof. The roof on this rancher here is not $350.
Insurance.
So that's the other side where the investment is really about heading off other things that can go wrong and making sure that you're going to not have an insurance claim. Because when you have an insurance claim, we've talked about insurance before on this podcast, that can be problematic as well.
Because what makes sense is to get penalized for using something that you're paying for.
Yes, obviously. But it's all based on risk. Next 10 years is going to really show whether homeowners insurance is going to be rocked in the next 10 years.
I guess they just don't want it to be like boy who called insurance. Like,
Yeah. They need to make it somewhat prohibitive. Because otherwise, there wouldn't be any insurance at all.
Yes. So to get to something you said you have a scale.
Yep.
And if you're starting at the investor side, it's like a flipper.
Mm-hmm.
Something that I think is very commonly also misunderstood is that they want to do the cheapest options so that they can get the most return on what they're investing in. And I can't disagree with that more.
Yeah, investors absolutely can cut corners.
Yes. And I think that there is a strategic way to still be able to put money in, spend like more than, you know, the cheapest option, because again, it's being able to present. And I think it's important to be, if you're doing it for the intention of flipping it and somebody else buying it, is putting them in safely.
Yeah.
So I know this is more of a like dollars like conversation.
A flip is a house that has been torn apart, put back together again, but nobody has gone and used the toilets day after day or pulled on those faucets or used the door day after day. And so a lot of times what can happen when you buy a flip property is that you got to break it in. But then the flip side is if you bought a house that someone has not really updated recently, but it's been owned for the last 10 years, there's value in the person. Like,
they can speak to it.
They can speak to it and the door isn't going to fall off. Hopefully the door doesn't fall off, but it's like that door has been swung by the same person for years and years and years. Odds are after you take ownership, you're not going to have a problem.
And that goes to say too with the seller's disclosure. So seller disclosure is required, at least I'm sure it is in every state, but we're speaking Pennsylvania, obviously, is something that you have to have when you're selling a house. The seller has to fill out to disclose any material defects. And reading one from somebody who has lived in it and knows their house really well is a lot more comforting and assuring to the person who's buying it versus somebody who has never lived in it. There's ways around it. You never know who they bought it from and what's, you know, happened before then. There's a lot more questions and what ifs. And I think we should do a whole episode alone on people buying flip homes.
Yeah.
And that'll probably be another day because I have plenty to say on that too. But like you said, there's not as much to read up on it because... Yeah. They don't know, and that's not their fault.
Well, investors are putting things into a home that they're never going to have to use. They never have to go through the frustration of it failing versus somebody who's putting in a kitchen that they're going to have to use for the next 10 years, they're much more incentivized to build it right so that they don't have problems after problem after problem. In the microcosm of this topic, yes, things are generally done better. Now, there are some investors who would very vehemently disagree because they have a lot of pride in what they do.
Yes, but and those mostly, are the ones that I will work with and that I trust.
But mostly investors, it's about speed and money. The investment, it's a straight line dollar consideration.
My ethics and morals just play so hard into that side of things because I understand that you have a line item to meet and that you have a break even and you have a profit margin that you have to make. But I am so dead set on you better make sure that people are getting into houses safely and that you are not setting somebody up for failure just so you can reap a profit.
That's right. Oh my God. The investment side, I help a lot of investors every year, but it is a sandbox that I agree with you. I have a little bit of a trouble navigating because it's just more about the money. It's not about families transferring homes, and it can sometimes violate fair housing ish. Sometimes older couples, they really want a family to move in because they want someone to pass the baton. You can't do that, but I know that's what is being thought of when they decide on who they want to choose. That's not a thing in the investment space. I mean, some investors can pull on their heartstrings, but it's really just like least contingencies, most money. Fastest settlement. That's it.
Like my investor, he is responsible, which is why I work with him and I trust the quality of his work.
Yeah.
And I feel good putting buyers into the houses that we are selling. But it's funny, we make a really good team because he is that I don't care who they are. Like, do they have money to buy the house?
Yeah.
I have to bring the human side to things and actually feel for these people and
be that liaison. The other thing, while we're talking about investors, a good rule of thumb is if you go into a flipped home, find out who that contractor is, because if they do a lot of work in the area, they're more likely to do quality work because they do not want their reputation damaged. Mm-hmm. Versus a guy who's in Philly, but he comes 20 miles outside the city, and then he's 20 miles here, 20 miles there, and they've got some like LLC and nobody knows who it is. Like, that's a different thing. But if you find these little local flippers who are usually, they have other jobs, they just hire contractors to do all their work for them, that can sometimes lend itself to higher quality. But almost every flip I've ever had someone purchase, there's been an inspection done. And if we don't get that house because they won't allow inspection,
or inspector's been through, at least,
or inspector's been through it, or somebody has come through with another set of eyes, because it's really hard in that space to know what's what. So you really got to get an inspector to get in there. And even then, it can be tough. But I want to talk about one other thing with this topic. And really the main question that I get is, what actually does give you a return on investment?
Well, that's what I was going to say.
From you again.
That's okay.
That's fine.
We're going in the same direction. So we're back to your scale. So we covered the one end.
So let's talk about the forever home people. If there are improvements to be made on a home, and we're not talking about roofs, we're not talking about windows and all that stuff that nobody really cares about or gets to enjoy or see or show off, anywhere you can fetch water. So bathrooms and kitchens are where you're going to make up the most ground because they're high ticket items. They're front facing, and it takes a lot of, if you are planning to sell soon, it takes a lot of the onus off the buyer to not only financially do it, but to logistically do it. If you've got a kitchen that's finished, you can deal with any other home improvement that's going on in the house. I speak from experience. I've renovated a house. I've put an addition on a house. And as long as you have that home base to like grab your coffee and your milk out of the fridge, like, it's a lot easier.
And maybe have a toilet.
And have a toilet and have a bathroom. So that's where I usually tell people to start. Painting and flooring is another one where you can make up a lot of ground.
Well, I think people that are even asking this question or wondering about this topic of, you know, what is my best use of return on investment money, is it's the people who have a lot of things they want to do. It's somebody who wants to finish their basement. They really want to update their bathroom. They would like to update their master bathroom. They'd like to update their kitchen.
I'm sorry, did you say master bathroom or primary bathroom?
Sorry, primary bathroom, primary bedroom. I'm following the law. I promise. Don't revoke my license or fine me. They want to replace floors. They want to knock down walls, whatever it is. But like, they have this list of things that they want to do. I think they want to know where to start if they can't finish everything.
Yeah. And so in that instance, and I have clients that just reached out to me last week who were asking me about this. You get the list. We bring out a general contractor. We get estimates for all of it. Mm-hmm. Regardless if you have the money, just give me your wish list. If it's $100,000 worth of work, $200,000 worth of work, because then that gives you the framework to start saving for it if you don't have all the cash. The other thing that I often tell people to do is bring out an inspector. And people are like, well, wait, I'm not buying or selling a house. Why would I bring out an inspector? a maintenance inspection will save you from the trouble of finishing the kitchen, depleting all your funds, mm-hmm. and then your roof starts leaking.
When I was selling the house last year, my seller was like, well, what should we do to the house? We were getting ready to sell it. And I said, listen, I can give you my opinions. I asked, should we update the bathroom? Because that thing was ancient. That was like the blue tile and like yeah. fluorescent lights in the ceiling. It was pretty dated. But with where it was, I said, listen, if you want to know exactly what you should do, I said, get a pre-listing inspection. Not everybody necessarily agrees with me that's a good idea. You and I have gone back and forth whether we think it's a good idea or not too. But for them, I said, listen, I gave them the pros and cons to both. I said, here's how it can work in your advantage. Here's how it could not work in your advantage and it could be a disadvantage. But I said, what's more important to you? Would you rather have something in front of you to give you a checklist of what needs to be done to your house? Yep. And then I can give you guidance on a buyer's perspective of what's going to be more important to them and then go from there. So we just got the answer key. Got the pre-listing inspection, right. had him come in, and he gave us everything we needed to know.
I try, and I'm not very good at it. I don't know why more people don't do this. I have a client down on Philadelphia's main line. He inherited the house. The house has some deferred maintenance, but they want to put a big addition out the back because they're a larger family than he's an only child, and they have two kids, so they need an extra bedroom. I say, yeah, but what else is going on at the house? Like, how old's your boiler? How mm-hmm. old was your air conditioning unit? How old's your roof? All your windows need to be replaced. And the siding needs to be redone.
It sucks because it's like, it's the stuff that you don't, like you see a brand new shiny kitchen every time That's you right. put one in, but like you don't see fun. The roof when you're inside. You don't see like, it's the windows will be there regardless, but it's like,
it's not fun.
It's not fun.
And I hate to say it. And I know that, you know, I don't want to assign this to people, but people like to show it off. They like to show it off. The same reason they drive a nice car.
Meanwhile, my neighbors down the street, somebody on my street got new windows 2 weeks ago, and I was so jealous. I was like, well, yeah. And now I look at them every time I drive by. Oh, man, look at those nice windows.
Look at those nice energy efficient windows.
Because all our houses in our double cul-de-sac, we're all pumped out at the same time.
Yeah, you have 25-year-old windows.
Yeah, anytime we all need new windows, and they got it. And I was like, oh.
You're a 7-year homeowner, so that's where
that
comes from.
But it is, it does, like, it's more exciting to show off, like, the pretty things inside. But, I mean, the real answer, though, is, like, it's not a linear answer.
It's not. Like, almost everything in real estate, there's no straight line.
But I will say, if somebody does want to know, like you said, with your line or your, sliding scale. Semantics. You know, it all depends on where you are on it. What does value mean to you? Is it something that you need for yourself? Or is it something that, like, I had sellers last year, they completely gutted the house and completely remodeled the entire thing in 2018, knowing they would be selling within the next 5-6 sure. years. And the decisions that they made
that's right.
were based off of the fact that not necessarily personal taste, but what is going to appease
that. That's right. And I the same way, whether you're not going to sell or you're going to sell, that is the same mentality where it's like, hey, what are the things that I can do to get my house ready for when I do sell in 4 or 5 years? And that even comes down to the kitchen finishes. Mm-hmm. It's not even a matter. They've already decided they're going to do the kitchen. But what are the kitchen finishes that are going to resonate? And I'm just, you know, you always try to just bland it down. Don't do anything too crazy. Nobody's putting granite in their granite countertops anymore.
Also because it's not 2004 anymore.
Well, no, but it's like those trends. But I mean, generally more muted, neutral things will carry over.
Grays are going out. It's all about throwing in pops of color now.
Pops
Thank
of color.
God. But there is at least a parameter of being able to answer it is if you're trying to choose between a list and let's put deferred maintenance like aside and let's just say that everything is well and functional in your house and yeah. you're talking about remodeling. Things that sell a house are kitchens, primary bathrooms and bedrooms, not masters.
Flooring, painting.
Painting is the easiest thing that you can do to better show your house. I would say that's more goes into like to showing your house, not necessarily like it doesn't talk about like
the
renovating.
Hell it's not. Some houses you can pay $20,000 to repaint the inside, repaint it well.
Well, yes.
And that isn't.
Never hire me to paint.
Yeah, never hire me. Oh, you hire her before you hire me. It's going to be, it's ugly. But I can tell right away, and we're realtors, we're real estate ninjas. I'm telling you right now, we can tell immediately whether a professional or the homeowner painted that house.
Oh, yeah.
And that is an investment. It's not just about, hey, you know, put a cookie tray in, open house, sign, paint, and all that stuff. Painting in some cases, inside of a house, especially with a lot of trim, a lot of transitions and stuff like that, can get very expensive very, very quickly.
My neighbor's the other day, though, and we're talking about getting her house ready to sell at some point this year. And first thing she said was, first thing we need to do is paint the ceilings. And I melted. I was like, you're so right.
Yes.
It makes such a big difference.
It does. It does. The last thing I want to talk about, and then we can wrap up, is outdoor spaces. Mm-hmm. So patios, decks, mm-hmm. pools. Some pools are a little bit of a 50-50. Some people think that they're a drowning hazard. The other people just see barbecues and the family reunions of their dreams. But outdoor spaces, covered outdoor spaces. I put a screened-in porch on my house. We love it.
It's so nice.
It's so nice. And so those are the other things that people will
look
at.
My deck sold me my house.
Yeah.
I saw my deck and I was like, sold. And I love this thing.
Do you have a southern exposure or western exposure? You have sun on your deck all afternoon.
I am like the most geographically dumb person.
At 4 o'clock in July.
The sun sets in my corner of my backyard.
Backyard.
And it's beautiful.
It's backyard. You don't mind the sun beating down on your deck?
No, it's beautiful.
You sit there?
I love sitting out, like, especially in the spring and summer. I love going out on my deck, eating dinner outside, watching the sun go down.
Oh, look at you.
It's so nice.
You're so domesticated. It's nice.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
It wasn't fun when it dry rotted underneath of it, and then I had to get that fixed.
The way I just want to leave this is the real estate consumer will go to Pinterest, they'll go to Google, they'll go to some list somewhere, but there's no one really better suited to talk to you about home improvements than realtors.
Yeah, that goes into one of our first episodes as far as like when to talk to a realtor. It doesn't have to do anything to do with moving. Yeah.
Selling and moving. It's like I have ongoing, like almost real estate consultancy. I'll get a photo of samples from like a design center somewhere. And they're like, which one do you think is like the most attractive, or what are the trends saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm not like an interior designer by any stretch. But we see buyers and
see what they like in their preferences.
Exactly. We bring buyers into homes and we see what they like and what they don't like. And mm-hmm. I also go into like model homes too. And those people have done the homework for us, where those are the trends that are coming. And some people are like, I don't give a shit. I want a trendy. I want like the latest look. I don't want to do something for 5-6 years down the road. If it looks like shit and nobody likes it in 2 years, then I'll change it.
A lot of times too, though. So like we're constantly around that kind of stuff and seeing it like move in real time. But like sometimes it takes a while for those things to communicate out to the general public. Like the grays they're out.
Yeah.
That's done. But like it can take a while for that to travel to the average person to know. And then they put all this money in, and by the time it reaches like a more wide audience.
I'm waiting for like the lime green 60s patterned look to come back, man. I think it would be like totally retro. Forget black and white. I'm talking like if anyone would ever go back to the hippie days.
Your husband wants to have a 70s inspired house. Have fun.
It is not up for debate. Her way is the only way.
Good husband.
No, so I think we've covered a lot of ground. But listen, if anybody out there is looking to do home improvements, you really should get an inspector in. You should get a general contractor, and you should call a local realtor to come in and advise on what your goals are. If you're not going to sell in 20 years, great. But if you're going to sell in 2 and you want to invest money in that property, you should talk to the people that are dealing with these investments all day, every day.
I'd like to throw one more thing in there, though. I have a warning of make sure that whoever you are getting the opinion from, I would encourage you to get somebody who does not necessarily have a financial stake in getting the job, because they may push for the more expensive job for them.
Sure.
Not necessarily what is the best investment for you to put your money into at the time. So make sure it is somebody that you actually trust.
And that's why your realtor should be partnered with that instead of leaving yourself to the whims of the contractor world. So it takes a team. Even if you're not going to sell, even if you're not going to buy, whatever, you should surround yourself with people who are in this all day, every day. I'm sure you're great at whatever you do all day. This is not what you're supposed to know about, and that's what realtors are for.
Unless you're an interior designer, then actually I'd really like to get your take.
Sure. We'll hire you, and then we'll bring you over to our client's house.
Yeah, you can come on a podcast.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Millennia. For more information or to connect with us directly, you can always get a hold of us on Instagram at Millennia Podcast LLN, or through each of our pages at Janusky Gets It Done or at Ask Seth Anything. Until next time, keep moving up. Later.